It's 88.5 KCSN Sky Daniels, and we have the Heartless Bastards who had to come racing in today. See, this is what happens when things start happening for a band. They just load up your schedule, don't they?
It does happen that way, but it's a good thing.
It's a good thing,
right? Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
A good kind of problem to have.
Absolutely.
A whole lot of people want you, including apparently... I don't know if it's friends or industry people trying to mooch their way into getting to see you at Conan. Which was it?
Oh.
The friends? We don't want to call them mooches if they're friends.
Oh, yeah. Actually, I think you probably misunderstood me. I don't think any of my friends even know I'm going to be on Conan.
Oh.
I was trying to figure out which person to reach out and invite. Yeah, oh. That was my dilemma.
So I let the cat out of the bag then. All your friends now are going to say, me, pick me. Well, whatever. At least you'll hear from some of your friends you haven't heard from.
Fine
yeah, feather friends
nice.
They are. Erica, you moved to Austin, Texas, a great music scene, for different reasons than most people move there. As story goes, you just had to get the heck out of Cincinnati. You want to tell us a little bit about that backstory?
Oh, well, I was in a relationship for 9 years and we split up. And we were in the same band together, actually. So, and we have all the same friends. And I just thought that, you know, we tried playing together. And that was too hard to continue making it work. So I just thought I'd start new somewhere. And, I have family in Austin, and our management at the time was in Austin, and they helped me get set up. So, it's a great town. So, just a lot of different factors. And actually, Mike McCarthy, that produced the last record, I had already had plans to work with him, and his studio was in Austin as well.
So, has the move to Austin shaped? Not only the sound, but I guess in some cases it shaped the members of the band too. By getting down there, it started to become a new nexus for everything you were doing. It became your new, ground zero.
Yeah, but I ran into Dave down there, but Dave and I were in a band years ago called Sheesus, S-H-E-S-U-S. One time somebody thought I said Jesus in an interview. I'd just like to clarify that.
Yeah, and here at a university station, it's nice of you to do so.
Yeah. Well, Sheesus is cute, but Jesus would be a little bit out there, I think so. Anyway, we were in a band together. And I ran into him. He was living in Austin getting his graduate degree.
And he was from Ohio originally, right?
Yeah. And then I had called up Jesse, who was living in the Cincinnati area, and asked him if he would be interested in joining the band. So I actually brought most of the band down from Ohio. Or I didn't. Well, Dave is already there. But the band is from Ohio, even though I moved to Austin and started over. And then Mark joined as a fourth member.
Where are you from originally, Mark?
I grew up in Delaware, but I've been living in Austin for about 15 years.
So you're the only non-Buckeye.
Yes.
You're the only non-Buckeye on the microphone right now, as a matter of fact.
I am.
Considering that I'm from Ohio, well, that's all right. You know, we'll still embrace you.
Okay. Good. I'm glad you
Mark's
can see through
right.
Your regionalism.
Yeah, there's no bias against you. Now, you were talking about working with Mike on production, and the album The Mountain, I guess it had, you know, a bit of residue from that relationship you refer to. It seemed to have a little bit of tone of you know, broken heart to it. Is that, am I reading into that, or was that in that record?
That record, I think, is more, it's just sort of, I was going through a bit of a hard time when I wrote it. But I don't know if specifically the content of a lot of the songs relate specifically to the breakup. It's just sort of kind of, you know, I moved to Austin and I was working on the record in an apartment and didn't know that many people. So I was just kind of very isolated, I think, at that time. So, and Arrow, the new album, is kind of, it took me a while to get through that. And then sort of Arrow is more of a reflection of me sort of getting back to myself. And yeah. This song's called Parted Ways. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Thank you. I just don't look at things the same way now since we parted ways. Out in this space, I'm a long way from home. The hum of the wheels, they are carrying me on to a wide open stage. To breathe in all.
Tell us how Thin Lizzy and T-Rex are all part of your musical idiom.
Well, I'm a really big fan of classic rock and a lot of great bands from that era. And T-Rex was the inspiration for a song on Arrow called Gotta Have Rock and Roll. I'm just such a huge fan of Mark Bolan and the whole band. And Thin Lizzy... another inspiration for the album was their cover of the Irish traditional song Whiskey in the Jar. And I like how both bands incorporate acoustic guitar and a rock sound, which isn't really very common, and we sort of took that approach on a lot of this album.
And swagger. There's a heavy dose of swagger in both of those bands.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Those bands, you know, you're actually talking about some of my heroes. So, you know, when I read that, I went, oh, we'll crank some of them up for you after we do the session with you today so you can hear them. And we'll all draw comparisons. And you guys will get all excited because you'll get to hear some of your favorites. Mark, the non-Ohioan, which I promise, I'm not holding that against you. the band seems now to have really hit its stride. And you've been together a while. You've recorded now, and you're playing live. And the live shows have been and are part of this band's legacy. There's a lot of fans of the live shows. What's it like now going out on the road? Not only this part, the promotion and other, but the actual getting to play as a unit. Have you found that this band's starting to hit a stride?
Oh, definitely. I mean, we right when the Mountain came out, you know, this unit came together. So we've been playing consistently together now for 3.5 years, and I feel like there's a really good chemistry between the four of us. We get along personally pretty well. I mean, life on the road can be, you know, fairly difficult, stressful, being on top of each other and everything.
Is that literal?
Well, in the bunks of the bus, yes, okay. It is, actually.
Yeah, we have three stacks.
I was going to clarify. Just
yeah. But, no, I feel like everybody's playing, everybody's styles. Like, we're really, really familiar with each other. We can communicate, you know, on stage just, you know, without even speaking, without even really looking to each other. And it's just, it really, everything fits well. Everything feels really good. And a big part, I think, of Arrow sort of turning out as well as it did was the fact that our producer, Jim Eno, we went in and did two songs without having really played them live and recorded them. And it went well, but there was some hesitation and a little bit of uncertainty about what direction we wanted to go to while we were tracking. So he recommended that we go ahead and tour the songs. And we did that for about a month. And then when we took 2 days off to record. So when we came back in to the studio, it was like live off the floor. Everything was really quick. And it really captured that part of the band. So
you found those songs, you know, literally in front of an audience. You know, you more or less shaped them with an audience, you know, giving you some of the feedback that would eventually be part of
the rehearsals and the writing process. I mean, I feel like it was pretty quick, you know, like we got together and we played them and we were like, okay, you know, this is pretty much the way it's going to be. And then when we took them on the road, that was sort of
fine-tuning,
subtle process of everything sort of slowly coming together. And then by the end of that month, it's like, you know, exactly, you know, who's playing what, when, you know, what part is going to work. And it just makes recording just that much easier.
This song's called Skin and Bone. 1, 2, 3, 4. Bittersweet,
my own skin and bone. This rust is worn through, tearing up beneath the seams. Driving down Salem Avenue, it's all so familiar now, but so many things have changed. And the rain came down all around, washed away the industry, washed it to the sea. And oh, I find it through this time. I am back here, filled with all these memories. Bittersweet, my home, skin and bone. This rust is worn through, tearing up beneath the seams. And oh, I want it to be.
Sometimes songs don't pop out. It seems like you've gone back and revisited songs from years ago, correct?
Yeah, I mean, I have some ideas in my head right now I've probably had for a decade, and they're just waiting for the right time to, you know, you try a song out and things aren't working, and then, you know, you sort of shelve it for a while and get back to it a year or two later, and
We're not going to make you forget any of those ideas now with the interview, are we?
Well, I tell myself that if an idea is good, I won't forget it. And
that scares me with my memory. I'd write something down.
I do have this like a recorder thing on the iPhone now, and sometimes I jot the ideas down just in case. But I usually don't go back and listen.
Hum a little.
Maybe yeah. If you hear a riff, I have in lots your head, of those. I hope nobody ever finds them. They sound pretty funny.
I used to do that with a voice recorder.
Sure.
I'd have all these ideas come to my head, and then I'd go and play them back. Like, what the hell
was I thinking?
What is that? So I hope you're better at cataloging your ideas than I was, because I go back and listen to those things, and it sounds like a foreign language to me.
Yeah, actually, like on the on Arrow, the song Down in the Canyon, I think I started working on that in 2006, and it just wasn't fitting right. And now it's on the new album.
Some things blossom in their own time.
Yeah.
Well, it appears that the Heartless Bastards are coming to fruition. Ooh, what a corny segue that was. And we really want to thank you guys for coming by to KCSN. And it's just such a great buzz, you know, and it must feel great to you. The buzz continues to build. It's been building for a while. Now I guess you have to live up to the buzz and give the fans, you know, the excitement they're expecting, which is pretty demanding, because your shows are, there's an intensity that's expected. Is the energy level holding up as you go across the country on this run?
I feel like it definitely is. I mean, the thing about touring is that you're spending, you know, 22 hours of your day doing something other than playing. So for me, it's, you know, it's what I love to do. It's what I want to do. There's no way I'm going to half-ass it. You know, it's not a problem. Like it's what I look forward to all day. It's why, you know, we don't sleep and why, you know, what other things, you know, we're dealing with. It's why we're doing it. And we all believe in what we're doing. So, it's what I look forward to.
Well, we want to thank you for coming by and, great performance today and wishing you the best, and we'll go along on the ride with you, with the Heartless Bastards. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having us.